Sir. You may start, Judge.
Okay, thank you, Sam.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Happy Wednesday. Happy back to school for many of you who I know have kids of varying school ages, whether it's elementary up through college. I'm sure you're all glad to have them back out of the house. Go ahead and get started. Thank you both to defendants for a couple of days ago and then plaintiffs yesterday for providing us with the updated status reports. It's very helpful to us in terms of preparation for the conference today. I think without further ado, I'll turn to Judge Kelly, and I think she and Judge Joe Groves have a couple of questions in terms of how we want to proceed from here, and I'll turn it over to them.
Great. Thank you very much for your status reports. I wanted to give the government a chance to respond to some of the suggestions in the plaintiff's status report, which came after the government's. In particular, the suggestion that basically we don't need to have these submissions, but also the suggestion about must versus should on page 4, where the government indicates that the plaintiffs indicate that the government's must language is creating kind of a record retention question, and that perhaps the better language would be that the parties should keep their receipt. But obviously the bigger question is the first one, so I'll let you address that.
Good morning, and thank you, Your Honor. So our proposal starts from the starting point of the court's preliminary injunction order, which set forth two options, suspending the liquidation of entries upon receiving a list from a plaintiff, or upon receiving a list of entries from a plaintiff agreeing to stipulate some or all of those entries. And that order also required the government to establish a repository. So we worked off of the basis of those two options, also taking into account some of the concerns that have been raised by the court in previous status conference that should the government not prevail on the merits of this case, there would be a lot of work on the back end to figure out the scope of the plaintiff's cases and what entries are subject to refunds. So that has been our starting point all along. That being said, we feel confident that we are going to prevail on the merits of this case, and we ultimately defer to the court as to whether it would like to modify its preliminary injunction order to no longer require that plaintiffs submit lists of their subject entries right now.
So just so we understand, so you're not adverse to the plaintiff's proposal that they do not need to submit lists?
We don't support it, and we don't object to it, and we defer to the court as to how it would like to proceed from here and whether it would like to modify its order.
Okay, and then so if that were the case, then the question about keeping a record goes away.
It would, Your Honor. To briefly respond to that, the record retention question raised in plaintiff's submission, as I understand it, is a question about a single email, the email that CBP would send in response. So that would not be a large burden, and that was something that we proposed largely for the benefit of plaintiffs and importers to maintain records with respect to their own case and their own entries. But you are correct that if the court were to modify the order to not require plaintiffs to submit list of entries, there would no longer be the record retention question.
Okay. So let's think this through. So if the plaintiffs did not need to submit list of entries, you don't need a repository either?
That's correct. I would.
So basically what the suggestion would be that the order would be modified in some way akin to what Mr. Shaw had said in a couple of meetings ago, where instead of saying that the government could stipulate to any one particular entry, that the government would stipulate to any entry subject to this order, meaning an entry that had entered, I think the date is July 6th, but I could be wrong. You're neither supporting nor arguing against something that would work like that, which would mean that we would just change the order and that I can't think of anything that would need to be done after that. Judge Barnett, Judge Trogroves, we're not saying we're going to do this. I just want to make sure I understand what this would be. The problem that I would see from a court perspective, that is something that we need to talk about, is we can get to this end of this litigation, and should the plaintiffs be successful, it could be a mess in terms of parties getting their money, but that could be a mess now too, in terms of getting the information together. Judge Trogroves, Judge Barnett, do you have any questions?
Yes, I'd be interested to hear what the plaintiffs think about this, this permutation.
Your Honor, hi, this is Matt Nicely, and I'll allow my my colleague, Pratik Shah, to address this. We obviously agree. Because in our attachment 1 to what we submitted yesterday, you have in effect what we have in mind to use as an alternative. But Pratik, do you want to address it?
Sure, Your Honors. So thank you. We agree fully, Judge Kelly, that there would be nothing left to do in the scenario that you've just spelled out, which is the scenario that we've proposed before and propose again now in light of the government's categorical stipulation. And so we think it really is that easy and straightforward, and it would eliminate these entire protracted PI proceedings. And we don't think there would be really anything further to do. Obviously, the entire premise of the discussions we've been having for over the 2 months is the government needed this information to suspend liquidation. But now they're saying they're going to suspend liquidation on exactly 0 entries. So the information is no longer necessary to implement the PI, and certainly not necessary to implement the stipulation. Now, that said, we're obviously sensitive to the case management concern that you've articulated and that Chief Judge Barnett has articulated over the last few sessions. And for that, we've obviously spent a lot of time over these last 2 months, and we have made significant headway with the government in coming up with ways that we will be able to deploy if we prevail in this litigation. And in fact, we believe firmly that it will be much simpler to deploy because we will then know the period that we need to search back, and it can all be done at once. And if there is still that case management concern, you know, we're happy to continue to work with the government so that we can come up with technical solutions, and we don't have to wait into the litigation. We can continue talking with them as we have been on a monthly basis or every couple months, because they've already made significant progress. Just in their status report now, they've mentioned that they've now figured out how to create a new ACE report that streamlines things. So if we're now jumping several months ahead to the end of this litigation, we think that there'll be even more things that can be done that we've already been discussing with the government to simplify this. And you will have very motivated plaintiffs to identify all of their plaintiffs, all of their entries to which they're entitled their money, going back whatever time period the court decides a remedy should apply. So, and we're willing, that to me is a case management issue. It no longer has anything to do with the preliminary injunction or the stipulation, because that information is simply not necessary to implement the stipulation, which requires the government to do nothing, simply do what it's always been doing, which is liquidating in the ordinary course.
Okay, so basically the idea would be have an order that allows us to just move forward, stipulate to the entries from a certain date forward, do nothing else, but that the parties, imagining that the plaintiffs could be successful, would actively work on how they would deal with that and perhaps inform the court of how that's going.
Yes, Your Honor, I think that's very reasonable. And again, I think we've made significant headway in coming up with, I think all of us are much more up to speed on what that task is going to take to identify the entries for each plaintiff. And it's getting simpler by the day as the ACE functionality improves. And the government has said before, obviously in these status conferences, it's a matter of time. If it had more time, it could program things and make it even easier for plaintiffs. And again, plaintiffs, at the end of this litigation, if you tell them that they can recover millions of dollars by getting together their spreadsheets, they'll be able to do it. And they'll be able to go to their broker exactly one time and say, I need all the entries dating back to September 2018 or July 6 or whatever the date is. It'll be a one-shot deal, and each plaintiff can submit it by whatever timeline the court imposes at the end of this litigation.
Okay. Ms. Shookman, do you want to add anything? Or obviously, Judge Barnett, Judge Chogroves, and I need to talk and either issue a new order or ask to speak with you all again, but I want to make sure we've heard everything we should hear.
No, Your Honor, we don't think anything will be necessary on the back end. We think we will prevail on the merits. I guess I would just like to add that if the court is inclined to adopt a proposal such as plaintiff suggested, we would like the opportunity to submit slightly modified language. And perhaps that just means keeping this Friday's deadline for proposing additional modifications to the order.
Understood. Okay, Judge Barnett, Judge Chogroves, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, let me.
Well, in a breakout session.
No, let me ask Mr. Shaw. I mean, you're right. I mean, my concern about this all along. I mean, as you know, I dissented from the grant of the PI, but at the same time, I was always concerned, regardless of whether the PI existed or not, that if plaintiffs prevail, that, you know, well into my senior status, I'm not sitting around working with everybody trying to resolve how much of a refund goes back to plaintiffs in these various cases, that I've seen it happen all too often in the A case context, where you have a test case and you've got a suspension disposition calendar. And even there, with a very limited number of cases, limited number of entries, it has taken years for the parties to agree upon, you know, what is subject to the resolution of the test case and how much money goes back. There, you know, parts of this may be simpler, obviously, because we're not necessarily separating things out, but let's be realistic. I think, you know, and this is, it's illustrated just by the concerns that the government has expressed and the specifics of Ms. Highsmith's declaration, that, I mean, we're talking about something that is on a scale that's disproportionate to all those other cases combined, probably, in terms of the sheer volume. And so, while I agree with you completely, this is not a PI issue, it is a case management issue. case management is well within the realm of the court. It is something that, you know, I am always concerned about in every case that I'm involved in. And so I want to, I'd like to hear a little more of the specifics there, and the, and in particular, you know, where, you know, where you expect, you know, again, should, if plaintiffs prevail at the end of the day, you know, where those burdens are going to lie, what kind of timeframes you, obviously, you know, we're still early in the process, but what kind of timeframes you all conceive of in terms of resolving these kinds of issues at the end of the day, because we're not going to go away in terms of the case management side of this. I think this is an important issue that we're going to continue to need to stay on top of. So let me just ask you, and frankly, in some of what you said and watching some of the facial expressions of some of your colleagues on here from the government side, I mean, I suspect at the end of the day, you know, this is still another question of burden shifting. Who's going to have the burden of handling, determining in the first instance what's involved? So with that, Mr. Shaw.
Your Honor.
Sure. But,
or Mr. Nice, or whomever.
Pratik, let me just mention one thing.
Sure.
Your Honor, you mentioned Assistant Commissioner Highsmith's declaration, which I think is really important to consider. She was able to run those numbers presumably relatively easily. The one thing she didn't have that she didn't run, because she didn't have it from us, are the imported numbers, right? If she had had the imported numbers from us, which we could collect relatively quickly, we've always said that that is a relatively quick thing that we can do as the plaintiff. If she had had that, she could actually have given you an even more precise number than the $81 billion number that she laid out, right? My point being that, and this is an example, with the additional time, and again, we're willing to obviously work together, as Mr. Shaw said, we have, obviously, plaintiffs have a great level of interest in making sure this goes right and ensuring that it doesn't take 10 years to happen, right? But the point is that with time, in the same way that Ms. Highsmith was able to run the numbers that she ran with the importer numbers, you could run those numbers and figure out exactly which entries we're talking about. So again, we're willing to work with the government to make sure this relatively works relatively smoothly, notwithstanding the immense nature of the project. But I just wanted to point that out, that she was able to run those numbers with importer numbers. You can actually get down to what are, in effect, the subject entries.
Your Honor, if I could add, in particular in response to Judge Barnett's concerns, and I think hard experience with respect to suspension disposition calendars, you know, this case is very different in that, as Judge Barnett said, at the end, when we're looking at a pool of entries from which for which remedy may be available, we're not going to be separating out products based upon things like style, size, or composition, or the specific details of the merchandise. The merchandise was either entered or liquidated subject to Section 301, List 3, 4A, or not. It's going to be quite binary. The better analogy, I think, or an appropriate analogy, I think, is to the harbor maintenance tax cases, which were also, you know, extremely large, included a high number of plaintiffs, all of which were making claims for multiple transactions over the course of years. And in that experience, the government did work closely with the steering committee that was established in that case to work out the case management issues at the end. There were issues, obviously. There will be individual cases where there are arguments about availability of a remedy, but a lot of what typically slows down suspension disposition calendars is not present in this case.
I think Mr. Shaw wanted something as well.
Sure. And Chief Judge Barnett, to address your concern, I think you are exactly right. There will be a burden question at the end. At any time you do this, including at the end of the case, there's going to be a question of who carries the burden of doing what, right, as we've been discussing the last 2 months. I think we've gotten, again, I think we've streamlined things quite a bit already. But I think the key difference is that one of the reasons why the burden has been such a big deal is it has been articulated by the government up to now as an every 30-day obligation to run these searches every 30 days, which for our small plaintiffs, there are over 6,500 plaintiffs, the vast majority of small, that's either a significant time burden or an expense burden. If they just have to do it once, it's a lot easier sell to the plaintiffs to take their share of the burden in running it with the importer record number or whatever. Now, again, I think there'll be technical fixes that we can work with on the government to simplify it both for the plaintiffs and for the government. But even if we had the process, the repository, which has already evolved significantly, but even if we used the current version of it, we're talking about it's a longer time period, but it's a one-time search. It's not asking them to keep doing the search every 30 days. And so I think the burdens will be more palatable to the plaintiffs at the end of this litigation. And again, as Mr. Nicely said, everyone will be motivated to get it quickly because they don't get their money back until they've reached agreement with the government. And this court would be able to opine on what are the relevant subset of entry. So for all of that reasons, I'm at least hopeful that we won't have the nightmare scenario and will be more along the lines of the cases that Mr. Friedman has mentioned. And again, we're willing to work with plaintiffs on whatever case management basis the court sees fit.
Okay. Judge Trogroves, anything else?
No, I don't have any other questions.
So as Ms. Schuchman pointed out, we have a Friday deadline for commenting on the order. Or making proposed suggestions to changes in the order. So we should wait for that. And we'll be very interested in seeing those comments. And obviously the parties should comment on what we've discussed today, since that's very seriously on the table. And Judge Barnett and Judge Trogroves and I will take a look at that. And get back to you shortly.
Let me ask one other question. I mean, in light of this discussion for the government, you know, to the extent that, I mean, I think we can perhaps anticipate, you know, where things are set out here in terms of how things might proceed. While you're correct that Friday is the deadline for proposed modifications, it's also the current deadline for actually establishing the repository, which if this is the route that we take, is an exercise, would be an exercise in futility at this point, an unnecessary exercise. Should the court modify that deadline in advance of Friday, put it off for a week, leaving open the possibility of allowing us to address whatever proposed modifications the government might submit on Friday or by Friday?
Thank you for that question, Your Honor. To clarify, the repository is already established because it worked with existing systems. So we saw that as a deadline to file the final version of the repository instructions. With that in mind, I think we would be open to a short extension of that deadline, because you are correct, depending on how the court modifies its order, filing those instructions may no longer be necessary.
Okay. Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd add one more thing. I think it would cause a lot of confusion amongst the plaintiffs if we allowed that repository to be set up the way it's currently set up. So I would hope that obviously be in the interest of the plaintiffs to not set it up at all. It's great that it is, we have a draft to work with that possibly could be used later on for the case management purposes we just discussed. But setting it up now would seem, I would fear that it would cause a lot of confusion. I would hope we could put that. Could I also mention one other point? We have effectively given you our comments on the adjustments to the court's order in what we filed yesterday. which I think now what's going to happen is that the government will react to that, if I understand correctly, what will happen. We would also like the opportunity to react to that, if possible.
Well, one way we could short circuit that is, why don't you talk amongst yourselves and see if you can work that out, and then just give it to us on Friday rather than, you know, going back and forth. I mean, and along those lines, I think the three of us all want to compliment and thank you all for the very collegial way that you have all worked through this and stuck with it. And I know that the court appreciates it. We appreciate it. And if we could do that just a little bit more, perhaps you can, perhaps the government can give you their concerns with the draft directly, and you can talk to them. And if you need to file something, I mean, hopefully you'll figure it out and agree give us something jointly that you agree on. But if not, you can file your comments separately. How would that work?
That makes sense. I agree.
Ms. Shookman, is that okay with you?
Your Honor.
Okay. Judge Barnett?
Yep. Or Judge Chilgroves, anything further?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Let me just, I know I've said in the past, I mean, we would go into breakout session at the end of this if, you know, we need to address anything further. I think in light of the progress that we've made here, I'm not sure. I don't know that there's necessarily a need. Let me ask Ms. Shookman, Mr. Nicely, do you foresee any benefit to a further additional chat in the breakout session or no?
The government doesn't see a need, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Nicely.
I also don't think we need it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yep. All right. Thank you. I don't want to take up any additional time that's not necessary. So with that, let me thank you all for joining us this morning and join in Judge Kelly's comments. I think we appreciate the positive way everybody has been working together on this one. We've made some good progress and look forward to seeing what you have for us on Friday. Thank you again.
And thank you.
We're done. Thanks.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Your Honor.